Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, Daily D. My boy is Mailman Duke. How y'all doing today, fellas?
What's up?
All right, we've had a little bit of confusion with the schedule, but we're back on track here. We release episodes every Thursday. Follow us at TRDcast on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. We're not on Instagram yet, but we will be by the time this episode goes out, because I said it, so it shall be. We are on Spotify. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere that podcasts are available. Hit us, like us, follow us.
Please interact with us. Let us know how you feel. Comment, drop a like, something. Let us know how you're doing out there, how you feeling, how you enjoying us, and how you like us.
As always.
Even if you just want to stop by to say, fuck y'all, just do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. We'd love to hear from y'all, both good and bad. On that note, let's get to our first topic. Today, we're talking about the idea of the people you surround yourself with. I saw a post on social media not too long ago, and it says, surrounding yourself with the right people is such a life hack. The right people will give you energy by their mere presence. The right people will have you working out, eating right, improving your credit, learning new skills, manifesting, and meditating. The right people level you up. We just want to talk about this topic and how you guys feel about it. Mailman, I want to hear from you first. What's going on, man? What do you think about it?
So at first when I was thinking about this, I was like, huh? Like surrounding yourself around people gives a life hack? And then after you just said that, I was like, okay, now I see you. You know what I'm saying? Because I surround myself with you niggas. You know what I'm saying? And y'all, like, y'all really old motherfuckers that I fuck with. You know what I'm saying? And since I've been fucking with y'all, I have been changing my diet. I have been working out shit. I lost 40 pounds, you know what I'm saying, in the last 6 months and shit. You know what I'm saying? Changing my diet. So, like, yeah, like, that shit is so true. But it also can, you know what I'm saying, have a negative effect too, because I've been around people that, you know what I'm saying, that was making tons of money and, you know what I'm saying, all this kind of stuff, business people and shit like that, and thinking, you know what I'm saying, if I want to be a millionaire, I should hang around with, you know what I'm saying, millionaires, or at least thousandaires or something, you know what I'm saying?
Other business owners,
right? And what I've come to find out that, man, a lot of these guys, a lot of these people are some of the grimiest people I've ever met, man. The underhanded shit they do, the, you know what I'm saying, how they treat their employees. I don't know if I even want to be a business owner if I got to hang around and deal with motherfuckers like this. But I also heard a thing where it was like, if you want to grow, surround yourself by a lot of people because that will bring about different avenues for you. So I can totally see it being a life hack. Mm-hmm. What you think, Duke?
Same thing. I mean, there's a saying that goes around that if you look in your circle and you're the most successful, you got to get a new circle. Right. And that's just finding people that's going to push you to be better. If you a lion, surround yourself with lions. If you the head lion, go find somebody that's a bigger lion than you are. But yeah, character does play into that as well, because yeah, you can surround yourself with a lion, but what kind of lion is it? Is it the type of lion that's going to look a motherfucker in the face and not back down? Or is that type of lion that's going to go behind somebody and attack them?
Yeah. Right.
So that does matter,
like
too.
Scar, like if it's a scar or Mufasa.
Exactly. You scar or you Mufasa? Which one you going to be?
Mufasa. Sit down, smile. I'm with you.
No, I've noticed that just working around different types of people and talking with different types of people that, man, listen, there is some successful people out there, and there are people of just, and you can get to the top and have absolutely the worst type of character a person can have, because you just robbed and, you know, went behind people's back and just did it the ruthlessest of ways. And there's people that are just like, listen, I'm high character and I did this the right way. And that's something special, man. You don't see that often where you see the people like, no, I'm a business owner, but guess what? I take care of all my employees because this is the kind of person I am.
Mm-hmm.
What, they used to have a show dedicated to that too, where the Undercover Boss, I think was the name of it. I love that show.
Where people
need more of.
Where people of good character then go into the build a company and they're like, I want to make sure my company represents who I am because they didn't go about it the wrong way. What they say, they always say money changes you. It doesn't change you. It brings out who you really are. The real you.
Yep. If you're a piece of shit with $10, you're going to be a piece of shit with $1 million.
No shit.
That is how it is.
You may be a happier piece of shit with $1 million, but you still a piece of shit. I mean.
And money don't make the man, integrity does.
Right. And I think that's the beauty about this podcast, right? We're not starting from this idea, let's make money. We're trying to build ourselves up in every aspect. And say, let's make money. Let's be better men. Let's be better fathers. Let's be better human beings in general and have better money and generational wealth and all that. And I just like that.
It's crazy how you brought up manifesting and things like that. Cause I don't know if y'all know this about me, but you know what I'm saying? I don't think I ever really said it out loud, but I'm a very spiritual person. And I swear to God, yesterday was the start of a new moon. And so I wrote my manifestations down and put it underwater and allowed the new moon to actually imbue it so that my manifestations would come true.
And that's all it is, man. It's just the idea of wanting more and wanting better from yourself in every aspect.
Meditation. Yeah. I meditate in the whole 9 yards.
I think that's beautiful, man. I think that's awesome. I think just the idea of being more well-rounded people and trying to get wealth is something cool to kind of behold and kind of think about. You know what I mean?
So that's why I keep y'all motherfuckers around. Y'all make me better. Make me want to do better.
All y'all do.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. There's a cycle where all of us will be in the right and you'll be like, hey, listen, I know you didn't see that you did this, but you did it, and that was awesome. And you need to
get right.
Also, y'all would be like, hey, listen, you fucking up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And I think that's just a beautiful thing. I didn't notice that so many people have friends that won't call them out on their bullshit.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's because they're not really friends.
Yeah. No.
That's because you're not focusing on quality, you're focusing on quantity. Those are the people that care how many Facebook friends or Instagram followers or TikTok followers that they have. That's why they fall into that, because they don't have those true 2, 3, 4 friends that they can go to and get don't just tell me when I'm doing good, tell me when I'm fucking up, because that's how I'm gonna grow. Because you don't grow that much during success. You grow during failure. That's how you grow more. You can grow during success, but you grow more from failure than you do from success. And a lot of people that have made a lot of money and have been successful will tell you that they failed 1,000 times before they were successful, or, you know, but it was that grind. It was that staying focused on the goal and reaching that goal and not letting that failure stop you.
Yeah, right. No, absolutely.
Don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear.
Exactly. If success was easy, we'd all be successful. It ain't easy.
Right? It's not. I heard a story. It was like Gordon Ramsay. He's like the most famous chef in the world, right? That's like...
Mm-hmm. That's motherfucker gonna be cursing people out, don't he?
Hey, me all the time.
Like, not only cursing people out, he cursed you, your food, and your mama out. He'd be like, you ain't shit. This chicken ain't shit. And the woman that taught you how to cook your chicken. I'm like,
God,
damn.
He trying to cut to your soul when he be talking shit.
I know. You don't say that shit to the wrong person, though.
Hey, he did. Yeah, but... On one episode, one dude. Oh, like, did you... Oh, yeah. One episode, dude was like, "Oh, you want to go? Let's go. Let's take this shit outside." He was ready to put hands on him. Right. That would have been me. I'd be like, "Hell no, nah, motherfucker! You ain't gonna talk to me like that. Disrespect you, motherfucker! You gonna catch these hands on national TV too?" And I would have went to jail. Like, "Yep, I whooped Gordon Ramsay's ass."
The news article says Gordon Ramsay has opened over 49 restaurants in his career, and 23 of them has failed.
Damn.
You see what I mean? And it's just that repetitive thing. There's some people that have friends that are like, "Oh, I got my friends that'll tell me what's what and tell me, oh, I think you shouldn't do that," and stuff like that. And then I have my friends that'll just, because they're just going to co-sign whatever I want. And I think that's healthy, because you always want a friend to back you up. No, I don't want somebody to be like, "Hey, man, listen, when you smack that one dude across his face in the middle of the road because he wore mismatched socks, that was cool." No, I don't want people like that in my life.
Like, shit.
I like the fact that I have you guys in my life that say, "Hey, News, I don't think you handled that in the right way possible. You better than that. You know, you need to rethink what you're thinking." Right, you need to reevaluate. And then I have my father that I'd be like, "Hey, News, you fucking up. Fix that shit." That's it. I want like the cut and dry, "Hey, yo, fix your stuff. You're wrong." And then I want the, "Hey, you wrong, but I'm a little bit ignorant. I ain't going." You know what I mean? But yeah.
You like that ignorant shit?
No, I just need it once in a while. One of the things I love is that when I get like really down, like really depressed, I'll like imagine what my grandmama would say. And I'd be like, "Hey, man, what would my grandmama say about like all these bills I got and how I'm gonna afford this?" And she'd be like, "Boy, if you don't get your ass up and go make that money." "I got you, grandma. I got you." Yeah, I mean, I don't need a speech. Just do what you gotta do.
Sometimes though, that's all it takes though. Yeah, you need somebody to be like, "All right, that's enough of a pity party. Now it's time for you to get it done."
Yeah, absolutely. One of the shocking days of my life where I found out I was having a kid and I told him. And of course my mom snapped, obviously, because mama, you gotta protect your baby. But my dad was like, "All right, you know what you gotta do. Go do it." Go do it. I don't care what you gotta do. Go do it. You may butt heads with me. Go do it. All right, bet. And we did butt heads. We butt heads for a little bit, a couple times. And he was absolutely right though, because he knows in that moment, I'm gonna tell you the facts and what you need to hear. Maybe later we'll butt heads because I have emotions involved, but I know right now you need to hear this, and I'm gonna tell you it straight out before I get to how I feel.
So I got a question, you know what I'm saying? How do you go about, you know what I'm saying, choosing the people that you keep, you know what I'm saying, keeping your circle and care around you? Like, how do you guys do people that you want in your circle?
Here's the thing, and I say this with the utmost respect. I didn't choose y'all. I did not choose y'all. I felt like at that point in my life, you two was exactly what my life needed. These two brothers was like, "Hey, look, I don't know what you got on, but you got to keep moving forward." And it was that I was like, because remember, I was living with my parents. I had financial stipulations. And you guys was like, "Listen, this ain't it. You are going to grow and you got to keep moving forward. And that doesn't mean you got to take everybody. You just got to keep moving." And it was that aspect that I was like, I didn't choose y'all. It was my life said, "This is what you need. And these are the type of people you need to do it to help you get there." Whether it be people that's going to show you avenues on how to be successful, those are great to have in your life. And then there's some people that's going to be there behind you just saying, "Hey, listen, you might need a little kick in the ass. There you go. Keep on moving." And that's what I love y'all about for. Because y'all do both at some time. So
shit, yeah. I could dig it.
My grandma told me when I was younger, she said, you'll be drawn to people by their personalities. However, whether they stay in your life or not depends on their heart.
Yeah.
And your heart. And that's basically how I go about it. I can be drawn to your personality, but when I figure out what kind of heart you have, that's when I'm going to determine on whether or not you're going to remain in my life or not, no matter what the circumstances is. That's why a lot of times, you know, y'all say, oh, you an asshole. Nah, I just can tell by the aura. I can tell of the heart of that person just by looking at them. I watch people. I look at what they say. When they think I'm not paying attention, that's when people will slip up and show you exactly what they about. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I wait for. I wait until you tell me, until a situation arises where you can go to the left or you can go to the right. If you go to the left, you know, I wish you the best in life, but it ain't going to be with me in it. If you go to the right, then okay. Then let's see what we got here. Let's see if maybe we can be lifelong friends or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, for me, that's what it is. You know, your personality will draw me in the beginning, but if I don't see the type of heart that I'm looking for to be around me in my inner circle, I can't have you around.
I feel you on that. I remember somebody saying, when people tell you who they are, believe them. Yeah. Well, when people show you who they are, believe them.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't look at it like that until Duke said so. So thank you, man. And on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Y'all stay tuned. And we're back. Yeah, we're back.
What is the next topic?
Our next topic, we're talking about generational wealth. Found a little video on YouTube that we're going to be listening to and watching. It's by a financial guru called Ross Mack. He's going to break down the four ways Black people can build generational wealth. Now, this is not just correlated to Black people. It's correlated to everybody. We're going to play this clip and see what he has to say. And then we're just going to talk about it.
One of the things that I wanted to do was find a better way of truly walking and living in my purpose. And that purpose is bringing Wall Street to Main Street. And so when you start to think about, you know, the wealth gap, it's always the information gap. And so Black Wealth Matters is a movement which is truly predicated on a fully encompassing plan of helping people become more educated about the different avenues to grow their wealth. How can, you know, Black community start building generational wealth? Once again, it's a fully encompassing way of life of thinking. I think people need to start off budgeting better because a lot of people live out of their means. You know, when I say budgeting, I have a free downloadable worksheet that you can literally use. And then next, I think we need to start thinking about investing. But a lot of, you know, people of color are less inclined to want to invest their money in the stock market because they can't see their money. They don't know what's going on. They heard one bad story. But the reality is the stock market is growing 10% annually on average, right? And so people need to invest, whether it's in your brokerage account, whether it's in your, you know, your child's custodial account or your 401k or Roth IRA. And I think every family who has someone that depends on them needs life insurance because it is, I believe, one of the easiest ways that allows you to truly build generational wealth and pass it on to the next generation. And I think the fourth one that I want to say is truly investing for your children. You know, one terrible stat is I want to say the average American has like $50,000 in debt. And I want to say the average college student is graduating with about $30,000 in student loans. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest gifts to give your child is the ability not to incur student loans. And, you know, one way to think about that is a 529 account. It's effectively called it like a Roth IRA. It allows you to put after-tax money into an account, that being a 529 account. That money is now invested into the stock market. It's going to be in mutual funds. That money is going to grow tax-free. You're going to be able to take that money out tax-free. And I think that's something that people need to establish for their children. And lastly, in that same realm of helping plan for your child's future, a custodial account. I think a custodial account is very important. It is just a brokerage account for your child, right? It gives them the ability to, one, start learning about money, start learning about the things that are important. And one of them is truly investing. And that's how you build for the future. That's how you build generational wealth.
Absolutely. And you said also that you and your wife are doing the same for your 4-month-old daughter. She has a custodial account. So this is how you build generational wealth. Thank you so much for coming on. This is Ross Mack, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. That's very interesting. There's a little bit of information there. What do you guys take from that? What do you guys get from that clip?
It's interesting. The things he was saying was kind of like the things that y'all have been saying, and you know what I'm saying, that we've been trying to get involved with ourselves, like the investing in the stock market and things like that, and the investing in our children and our children's future.
The thing that kind of hit me, and I didn't even think about that, is life insurance.
Yeah,
I have life insurance. Too. Like, I do have life insurance for my children, but I didn't think of it like, damn, when I die, they're going to be set. But on the real, they will, because it's a pretty good amount. I'm not going to say what amount, obviously, but it's a pretty good amount. And just thinking of it like that, like, I give them all the wisdom that I can while I'm alive, and I will still be able to give to them when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely a fucking great idea. I'm gonna have to start looking into that one.
I heard of a family. Both parents had moved out to Montana during the gold rush. They had created a life insurance policy because they had money. They invested a lot into the life insurance policy, but they just wanted to live off the land. Like, they wanted to be farmers. They wanted to be rural folk. They didn't care about money. And that was just what they did. So it wasn't a big deal to them. Each one of their kids, 7 kids, got almost $1 million in the life insurance after the life insurance policy when both of them passed away.
Damn.
That's great.
And then the grandchildren got money, and the great grandchildren got money. And it was like, wow. Even the great grandchildren got a $10,000 savings account, which isn't a lot, but damn, like, that's a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
To be able to sit there, like, to think two people came together. And they were still able to leave money 3 generations after.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? That's
the definition.
Oh, yeah, man.
Generational wealth.
That's the definition of generational wealth.
One of the things that hit me is the thought process of generational wealth is not about you. It's about the next and the one after and the one after that.
Yeah.
And he's starting early. It's four months old.
4 months.
Got a brokerage account.
A custodial brokerage account.
I'm 32 and not really sure what a custodial brokerage account is. But
I've been hearing about them, but I'm not sure exactly what they are either.
Yeah, the idea that I could tell you who led the Lakers in points, rebounds, and assists the last 10 years. I could not tell you what a custodial brokerage account is. And I guess to all my listeners out there, yes, I said the last 10 years. That's when Swaggy P was leading the team and scoring. I know he wasn't good all the time, but still.
But this is a point, though. This is a point of this podcast.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to grow. We're trying to gain that wealth of knowledge. So if there's anybody out there of our listeners that does understand that, we'd love to have you on the show and break it down for us.
Absolutely. There are people that are like me that sit there and say, I don't know about stocks. I don't know about brokerage accounts. I don't know about Roth IRAs, 401ks, life insurance. I don't know anything about that. But they do have the knowledge to learn something that they're interested in. Like I was talking about sports. These people aren't dumb. They just don't have access. ESPN breaks down everything that happens on sports. There is no breakdown for this kind of information. That is why one of the reasons why we built this podcast is the idea that we want access to this. We want information about this. No, I don't want your money. I don't want anything from you, but just to have conversations, to educate myself, to educate my boys here, my brothers, Duke and Mailman, and to educate our listeners who are in the same position.
But you know me, I'm still going to do some research. I'm going to research that shit my damn self too.
Absolutely.
Find out.
Absolutely. But I would love to, just like you hear stories of athletes making it to the pros or people analyzing sports, you want to hear stories of people that have this information and saying, hey, listen, this is how it was for me. It was really hard, or it was really easy, or this is the trials and obstacles I had to overcome. I think it's beautiful, man. I think it really is.
I like this. Mm-hmm. I like this. This is what we've been needing.
On to our next topic, but before we get there, we're going to take our last commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on our third and final topic. And today we are going to talk about a little story that popped up on the news today. A deck for boyfriend who said he walked in on his girlfriend cheating on him with another man. Soon had more problems to deal with after she stabbed him with a folding knife, police reports. The police affidavit says that a 50-year-old girlfriend also scratched her age 48 on the chest during a violent confrontation Saturday night at their home on Albert Street. They had dated for the last 2 years. He advised she became upset because he had caught her cheating on him with another man, said the affidavit. He advised she stabbed him in the left hand with a folding knife and scratched his face and chest. Without going too far into detail in this story, very simple. He caught her cheating. She got mad and she attacked him and stabbed him.
Wow.
It is very...
Next of ratchet news. Here we
go. right.
Wow.
We always just to clarify our third topic, we always like to have fun with it a little bit. Obviously, this man had been dating a woman who I hate. I mean, we just gonna label her as crazy. He found out she was crazy a little too late. A little too late.
Insane. Fuck that crazy shit. That bitch is insane. Who the fuck does?
I don't know. But listen. Has there ever been a time that you guys have been dating someone or talking to someone and you feel like you are glad that you found out they were crazy early on, or you found out they were crazy a little bit too late? Because obviously, if you've gotten stabbed, it's too late. There should have been some red flag that you picked up on early.
So,
no woman be like, yeah, I go to church on Sundays and stab motherfuckers on Tuesdays. Like, that's not how it works.
So, speaking for men all around the world, we all know the amount of crazy that we can deal with is different in our 20s.
Yeah.
And different when we get 30 plus. Because in our 20s, I ain't going to lie, I can hear a Negro right now be like, but how was the sex? because if she was good in bed, he in his head is like, you know what? This bitch crazy, but God damn. I might be able to deal with this a little bit.
Hey, and then he gets that.
Tell me I'm lying. Tell me I'm lying.
That
maybe not to the part where the bitch is stabbing you, but
that WAP will have you doing some crazy things.
For real. Yep.
Oh my God.
I hate how true that is, dude. I hate how true that is, dude.
Me too.
Oh my God.
I already know. I done dated some crazy motherfuckers in my lifetime, boy. Yeah,
y'all know my track record about crazy women. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna name no names, but some of these women were fucking batshit crazy. Next level crazy. Man, do you know one of them from when I was 25, so having them 12 years ago, freaking called my job last week? Looking for me? I don't even know how this bitch found out I worked there.
I will admit, I was dating a girl years ago, and we were hanging out one time in her bedroom. Things were getting hot. I was like, hey, I don't have protection. We're not going to do anything today. And she said, no, don't worry. I got it covered. And she pulled out a shoebox that was decorated in wrapping paper.
Oh, my God.
And I said, what is this? And she says, oh, it's my emergency kit. And she opened it up. I kid you not, that shoebox had at least 50 condoms in it, a bunch of pregnancy tests, Plan B pills, extra birth control packs.
Wow.
I was like,
what kind of fucking emergency was she waiting for? A natural disaster?
World War III? What kind of bitch was you fucking with? I mean, dude. News.
As mailman said, that what I'm have you doing crazy things. But that was a red flag enough for me to be like, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I don't need any more.
Hold on. Me. Hold on now. How old was you when this all was going down?
Oh man, it had to have been 18, 19. Oh. I was 19.
Now tell the truth, you fucker.
Yes.
Exactly my point. Yes, that is my motherfucking point right there. But it was something that was happening before.
Clean it up now. And then I saw the red flag.
Clean it up now.
Yo, I saw the red flag. When the red flag popped up, I was like, yo, this needs to stop. Now,
how many more times did you hit that?
More than I like to admit.
That's exactly my point, right?
Exactly. Oh, you still have to go back to seconds and thirds, huh?
I'm saying.
Didn't get enough. Oh, my God. Hey, but on a little bit more serious note, can we talk about this aspect of it? So, this guy walks in, catches his girlfriend cheating on him, and he gets stabbed? You know what that's strange to me? That women, most women have a real problem with accountability, with holding themselves accountable for their freaking actions. And I know firsthand because I just dealt with it yesterday with my daughter's mom coming to pick up our child from me. Now she told me she would be there to pick her up between 6:30 and 7 o'clock. She didn't show up till almost 8. And then when I called and it was like, oh, it's almost 8 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? What happened between 6:30 and 7 o'clock? She started yelling and screaming at me before I can even finish what I had to say. And then when I was like, so stop, let me finish what I have to say, she hung up, just hung the phone up. Now all that strange to me is that she knew she was wrong. She didn't want to hear what I had to say. And so she decided to get mad and get attitude and have a problem with me instead. Because she didn't want to take accountability for her actions. But men, we are always being made to be held accountable for our actions. Are we not?
Ooh, it's a very interesting topic.
Now, she may have went to an extreme with, you know what I'm saying, not wanting to be held accountable for that, but to stab somebody?
That's a whole new level. Maybe a little bit too much.
That's a whole new level, man. Shit.
I gotta be honest with you, mailman. We might have to explore this on the next episode. I'm gonna try to put some feelers out, try to get some people's opinions. I want men's opinions and I want women's opinions. Do women actually have an issue with accountability? And I want to hear this from a man's perspective when it comes to being in relationships, dating, living his life. And also a woman's perspective where she can say, hey, listen, do I really have an issue with
that's that kryptonite. Accountability is
the mailman thinks it's y'all. To all our women listeners.
Hey, y'all can hate me if you want.
Accountability is your kryptonite. If you don't like how that sounds, like, subscribe, comment, and let us know so that we can talk about it. Lead us.
Yes, because yes, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on that subject, on that topic. Because I'm telling you, man, it's like, but don't stab this man because she was cheap. Like, he did something wrong.
He did. He caught her.
Yep. What you doing in your house all day?
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to come in and catch you with that.
Yeah, remember the movie Norbit with Eddie Murphy? Eddie Murphy walked in on Rash Future and the instructor, and she was like, nothing happened. Like, he ass naked in our bed. He walking out our house. If you watch the movie, he flexed his penis in front of me. Talk about, oh, when I get excited about working out and exercise, I just jump like, boom! Like, boom!
Flexing on it.
And you gonna tell me it didn't happen? And then now, in that movie, Rats Fuchsia chased him down the street.
After she got caught cheating.
After she tried, because he caught, he was like, you're the queen of wars. And she turned around. And he took off out the house, boy. And she chased him. She bust the door down. She knocked over the mailman, had him flipping in the yard. The only thing that saved Norbit at that moment was the fact that Rasputia was about 475 pounds.
And she's got wind. That's why I work out. This is why I work out.
Listen. But that's the thing. there were signs in that movie that Rasputia might be crazy.
Might be.
Might be. She punched him because the seat wasn't adjusted. By
she had mental health problems. I can't.
Shit. She was like, stop adjusting my seat. He was like, I didn't adjust it. Yes, you did.
You watched that movie way too many times.
I love Eddie Murphy. I love everything that dude did.
Eddie Murphy is still one of the greats.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Hey, you ain't hear the problem? This is some news that I saw that scared me for the future. Did you know Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence's oldest kids are dating?
What? Are dating?
Yes. Eddie Murphy's oldest. Yep. Eddie Murphy's oldest son is dating Martin Lawrence's firstborn daughter.
What?
Yep. Eddie Murphy's son is 30, the stand-up comic. Martin Lawrence's daughter is 26, and she's an aspiring actress. She was actually, she played a small role in Bad Boys for Life, the third movie.
What?
Yeah. There's a scene where Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are going into the club, and there's these two women that stop them. And they're like, yeah, we're in there for Mike Lowry. And she's like, I'm sorry, can I help you, sir? Right? The short one that was like, can I help you, sir? That's Martin Lawrence's oldest daughter.
What?
Yeah.
That's cool to say. Can you imagine what that kid gonna be like?
It's gonna be Richard Pryor 2.0.
No shit.
I'm sorry. But on that note, thanks for listening to the Real Dream Podcast. To our listeners, the Fan One, Bammer. Hey, we still shouting you out, dude.
Is he still rocking with us?
Oh yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, hey, Bammer, send us another comment or something. Let us know you're still rocking with us.
Yeah, tweet us or something. All our listeners out there, thank you for listening to Mailman and Duke. This is Daily News signing off. Love you guys.
Love you too.
I wish you fellas nothing but success and happiness. And to all our listeners out there, keep dreaming. Take care.